I have Lisa Hester here with me. Lisa, you want to say hi again?
Hi, everybody, again.
Yeah, and Lisa is here primarily as the chairman of our retreat house subcommittee. But Lisa also happens to be the treasurer for Awakening Together. And one of the things I'm going to do tonight is go over our 2017 financial report. So if you want to pipe in there from treasurer, you can do that too. That's up to you.
It looks good.
Okay, so she's sitting here beside me. But what I'm going to start with is the Italy pilgrimage. I think you guys have known for some time that I have been working on an Italy pilgrimage, and actually, I just paid the deposit and signed the contract a few days ago. And so it is, it's all official. It's all, we're definitely going to Italy now. And we already have 13 people signed up. People just signed up just like that. So things are moving right along. What I want to do, especially for those of you who are unsure about whether you want to go on the Italy pilgrimage or not, is I want to talk a little bit about my vision for the Italy pilgrimage, also talk about the different options that are available, what the itinerary looks like, that kind of thing. First of all, if you look at the web page on awakening-together.org, underneath retreats and classes, and then underneath retreats, you'll see the link for the Italy pilgrimage in October of 2018. If you go to that page, you'll notice that I named it a contemplative pilgrimage in Italy. And you could really say that my intention or my vision for the pilgrimage is right there in that title. I want this to be a very inward focused, contemplative journey for all of us, so that we don't come back feeling like we were, just on a vacation together, but in effect that we were on a retreat. Just like, we always have our fall retreats. It's just that this time our fall retreat happens to be moving around in Italy. One of the things that I will do in order to help us have a very deep contemplative experience in Italy is I'm going to write a book just for this trip. I am going to go into deep contemplation regarding each of the sites that we are visiting. And of course, I selected these sites already. I designed the itinerary and then found a tour company that was willing to take us on that designed itinerary at a reasonable cost, which was a little bit of a challenge because I guess right now the dollar is low compared to the euro. In fact, it's at an all-time low, so finding the reasonable cost was a little more challenging, but I did find it. But I selected the places because of their contemplative potential. And now, what I intend to do between now and we go to Italy is I will sit down for hours at a time, focusing on the contemplative nature of a distinct site and see what comes in my own contemplation of that as if I was there. And I will do that for each site that we will visit, and I will write a book. That book will be in PDF form, and that will be sent to each traveler. The travelers then can, load it up on their phones, and you'll be able to have it with you as you go from site to site, and you'll be able to pull it up and look at what to contemplate there. There'll even be things that you can read on the plane on your way there. Things that, if you want to, you can, read while we're on the bus going from one place to another. Really, you'll have the book with you, and how deeply you go into that book will be up to you, right? So some people may barely look at it, and some people may go deep, deep into it, but it will be there, to assist you in going as deep into contemplation as you want to at each of the places that we visit. In addition, I'm sure that I will do some light teaching along the way, but the teaching will be light. I'm not going to be doing these long 2-hour teaching sessions like I would, at a fall retreat over here in Colorado Springs at the Franciscan Retreat Center. The primary teaching, the primary guidance is going to come through the book. So, The places that we're going to visit, well, let me say this first. There are two options for this trip. They're called Option 1 and Option 2. You'll see that on the website. The difference between the two options is one is longer than the other. For people who feel that they cannot go to Italy for a full 2 weeks, there is a shorter 9-day option, and I'll go over that itinerary in a moment. And that itinerary begins on October 20th and ends on October 28th. But one thing that's important to know about that date is October 20th is when the journey begins in Rome, which means if you're in Europe, you will fly out of your home city and fly to Rome on October 20th. But if you're in the US or Canada, we need to leave on the 19th to get there by the 20th. So even though the website says October 20 to 28, it's important to note if you're in America or Canada, that you really need to leave on October 19th. You will leave Rome on the 28th, and because of the way the time zones work, you'll come back to America and Canada on the 28th. It only takes 2 days to get there, 1 day to get home, right? So on the 19th of October, we come back on the 28th if you're option one. The prices for option one is $1,785 per person in a shared room. If you want a single room, it's going to be $2,085. And if this interests you, I will tell you there are discounts available if you pay by check or if you pay by bank wire. And you'll find all of that information on the website. So even though I'm saying the price is $1,785 for a shared room for option one, you can actually get it at less than that if you pay in a way different than PayPal. The reason this price is what it is because of the PayPal fees we have to pay. So if you help us avoid those fees, you get that discount too. Also, another thing I need to say about option one, the option one pricing is for 20 travelers. If by chance we don't have 20 travelers, that price will be $265 more. So that's just important for you to keep in mind. Now, again, we already have 13 travelers, and we just announced this, so I don't think we're going to have a problem, but I just don't want anybody to be surprised, you know. So I'm hoping that we'll get that 20 traveler minimum, and this will be the price, the advertised price. But again, if you go in and if you look right here on the website, it says variable pricing for this option. And if you click on the itinerary, you can read it's right there that there's the potential that this could cost $265 more per person, depending on the number of travelers that we have. Now, option two, obviously, the first part of the tour is the same as option one. You know, we're going to be doing that first week together. But then option two is going to stay in Italy a little longer. And so option two also begins on October 20th, or if you're flying out of the United States or Canada, you need to leave on the 19th. And option two ends on November 2nd. So it's a little longer. The price, of course, is also a little higher. So for a shared room, it's $2,990 per person. For a single room, it's $3,440 per person. But again, there are discounts on that price available if you pay by check or bank wire. And you can find those discounts by reading the itinerary for that option. On the extended stay, on the option two, we only need 15 travelers. So I feel real confident that we're going to get that 15 travelers. So we need a little more for option one in order for that price to be good. I guess I should stop and see, does anybody have any questions at this point before I go into the itinerary? All right, then I'm going to go into the itinerary. Let me go ahead and pin this because if I pin this thing here, it's easier to see when people put their hand up. Pin waiting list. Okay, good. I have the waiting list now pinned, so hopefully I won't miss you if you put your hand up. So I'm going to go into the itinerary then and just share with you the itinerary, and I'll tell you when the option one ends, because again, the first part of the itinerary we're all together. We're arriving in Rome on the 20th of October, and that's pretty much a free day. Once you arrive in Rome, it's a free day. If you arrive early, as I am, we're not going to be able to immediately check into the hotel. You know how hotels are. You can check in at 3 or so. We'll be able to get our bags there, but you know, we're going to, you know, maybe walk somewhere, get some lunch, that kind of thing, and then eventually we'll be able to check into the hotel in the afternoon time. We'll have dinner together, and we'll meet our tour guide. So it's a pretty light day, the arrival day. The real trip begins on day 2, which is the 21st of August. We're going to start the morning. This is a Sunday, by the way. So we're going to start the morning by going to the Vatican. We will go ahead and visit the Sistine Chapel. I'll be honest, this isn't something that I put on the itinerary. This is something the tour company put on the itinerary. But then certain friends said, yeah, I wanted to go there. So I said, okay, we'll leave it then. You know, some people have never been to Italy. They do want to see some of these things, right, if they're going to be there. So yeah. So even though I honestly did not put the Sistine Chapel on the itinerary, we're going to go. So we'll start off with the Sistine Chapel. And then we're going to go to St. Peter's Basilica, which I did put on the itinerary. And again, I'll have contemplations written in the book about that. But another thing we're going to do, which maybe some of you will really like and maybe some of you don't care, but the Sunday that we're going to be there is one of the Sundays in the year when Pope Francis does a blessing at noon at St. Peter's Square. So we are going to be there for that blessing with Pope Francis. And of course, I've never been very interested in popes. I wasn't raised Catholic. They're not anything I care much about, but I do like this guy, you know, and I think a lot of people like this guy. So I'm pretty excited that we're going to be there on a Sunday where we'll get to see him. Basically, what he's going to do, he has an apartment that is above St. Peter's Square. So what he will do at noon is he will open his window and he will address us at noon. And you can find pictures of this on the internet. There are lots of pictures of him doing this, but he doesn't do it every week. One thing you might want to bring, if you can find them, are just some very small binoculars that you can like carry easily in your bag. That way, if you want to get a close-up look of the expressions on his face and that kind of thing, you can look up at him through your binoculars. But we'll get to see him, whether you have binoculars or not. We'll be standing there in the square when he does his Sunday blessing that week. So the morning will be spent at the Sistine Chapel, the Basilica, and then in the square for the Pope's blessing. Then we'll go to lunch. And in the afternoon, we're going to go to a place called Scala Santa, which sounds Christmassy, but I think Santa means saint, right? Yeah. Scala Santa, let me just tell you guys a little bit of a story. As you know, even though Jesus was born and died and resurrected, Rome itself was certainly not Christian. In fact, Rome tortured and killed Christians for centuries. The very first Roman emperor to be a Christian was named Constantinople, right? Constantinople, I believe, was his name. And his mother's name was Helena. And after he became Christian, she also converted to Christianity. And what Helena did was Constantine, there we go, thank you. What Helena did was Helena became what is called the first pilgrim to Israel. She decided to travel to Israel and see if she could find the sites where different stories about Jesus happened. And in fact, if you go to Israel, you're going to go to different places where they say this is where he died, this is where, you know, he was buried, this is where the transfiguration happened, this is where the angel Gabriel visited Mary. Helena is the one that named all of those places. Okay, that's where it comes from. She traveled all over Israel and she had supposedly mystical experiences, and she said, this is where it happened. And they said, okay. And they built churches in each of those places, and that's how it came about. One thing Helena did is she came across a place that she felt or knew was, I can't remember, I have to look it up again. I can't remember if, I'm having trouble remembering names at all right now. I can't remember if it was Pontius Pilate's court or if it was the chief priest, I can't think of his name, his house. But there were two places Jesus went the night that he was arrested. First, he went to the chief priest's house and they had a trial there with the Jewish
Herod?
teachers. But can you think of his name?
Herod? Is it Herod?
No, Herod was King Herod. I can't
Okay.
think of this guy's name. I know it, but you know how you have these senior moments. Anyway, first Jesus went to his house and was tried by the Jews, and then because the
Oh.
Jews couldn't kill him,
Okay.
they sent him to Pontius Pilate. So there were two places he went that night. It was one of these two places. But anyway, she came along a place and she says, this is where he was the night when he was arrested. And there were some stairs there. And she said, he would have ascended these stairs that night. Well, she actually had the men that were with her take those stairs, remove them from that place, and transport by boat back to Rome. That's Scala Santa. That's where those stairs are. So we, since we're not going to Israel, we're going to go see these stairs from Israel, and pilgrims come here and obviously contemplate the night that he was in Garden of Gethsemane and the night that he was crucified and all of that, and we're going to go there and do the same. Yeah, Israel come to Rome, exactly. There's also a little chapel there called the Chapel of San Lorenzo, so we will visit that while we were there. And then there's the near there is the Basilica of Saint John Lateran. This basilica is in honor of a couple of different Johns, actually. One is John the Baptist, and one is John the Apostle. And so we will go to this basilica, and we will contemplate both of those Johns while we are there. And that will be the end of that day. On the next day, which is the 22nd of October, we are going to head south in Rome to the Catacombs of Saint Sebastian. And again, in history, originally the Christians had to hide. And so they hid in the catacombs and they said their prayers in the catacombs. When Saint Peter and Saint Paul were originally executed, they were buried in these catacombs. But those historical reasons aren't really why we're going to the catacombs. I'll share more in the book, but we're going to the catacombs because years later, another individual went into these catacombs and spent a lot of time in meditation and contemplation and awoke in those catacombs. So he used them like the caves of India. And so in my book, there will be more about him. And so we're going to go there in order to contemplate. He claimed the catacombs had a lot of energy and really helped him to go deeply into meditation and contemplation. So although lots of tourists visit these catacombs, for these other reasons, we're going there for this other lesser known individual, and to practice as he practiced, right? Consider contemplation, consider focusing on awareness, consider going deep within. We're also going to visit some other places in the area, one of which is called Appian Park. Appian Park is where the oldest road in the world is. You've heard the saying, all roads lead to Rome, where there were roads that led everywhere from Rome. And one of these roads is still pretty well intact. It's called Appian Park. And really, this will just give us a time, an opportunity to kind of get out in nature a little bit, which is always reflective. So we'll go to Appian Park and walk around and be in nature. After we've gone to the catacombs, or before. I'm not sure which way the tour company will do it. The next day, we're going to go to Pompeii. And if you heard my weekly gathering a couple of weeks ago, you know that Pompeii, I feel, is one of the best places in the world to go and contemplate truth. And the impermanence of this lifetime. And to really make a decision about which one you want to focus this lifetime on, whether you want to focus it on, this person and all of this person's desires and all of that, which, is going to die anyway, like these people in Pompeii. And they died very suddenly, right? They weren't expecting to die that day. And what's interesting about Pompeii is you can see them. You can see the expressions on their faces. You can see, the position their body was in. And it really gives you the opportunity to contemplate that you could die at any moment. And, what is this life about for you? What do you want to do with this life? So we'll have a day trip to Pompeii where we'll focus on that type of a contemplation. And then the following day, we're going to a place called Subiaco. I'm not sure if I'm saying it right. It's Subiaco. But the reason we're going there are two really, really lovely monasteries there. One that I'm especially excited about called the Monte Saint Benedict. It's the type of monastery that's built way up in the side of a mountain. You see it there, Lisa?
Gorgeous,
Yeah, and it's just a wonderful place just to go and be and meditate, contemplate, peaceful. So we're going to go there. And there's also another monastery in the same town. So since we're going to be there anyway, my real pull was this monastery of Saint Benedict. But since we're going to be there anyway, we'll also go to the monastery of Saint Scholastica. And so we'll be visiting two monasteries on that particular day. And then on day six, we're going to drive from Rome to Assisi. This is something else the tour company put in. This wasn't originally in my itinerary. I thought it would probably be nice because you will have had several days of contemplation now. This will be a slightly lighter day. It's in a city called Orvieto, which is built way on top of a cliff. They built it up there so that they couldn't be conquered, right? People couldn't reach them. So they're way up on top of a cliff. And it'll be a day when you'll be able to go and you'll be able to do some shopping, which I know some people like to do, or you'll be able to sit in a coffee shop. Or if you still want to contemplate that day, there's a Gothic church there, which they say is gorgeous and a wonderful place to go and contemplate. We're going to do that on the way to Assisi, just kind of stop the bus drive a little while. And then when we get to Assisi, we will visit Saint Francis's Basilica that very first night, which is one of the key sites in Assisi to visit. And then the next day is a full day in Assisi, and we're going to visit all of the key sites related to Saint Francis. And I'm not going to go through the list right now. There's about four different places that we'll visit. One of them, if you've seen the movie Brother Sun, Sister Moon, you know about the church San Damiano, I don't know how to say it, that he rebuilt. Right, and that's one of the places that we're going to visit. We're also going to visit the Basilica of Saint Clair, as well as some other places. So that day will be spent focused on Saint Francis and Saint Francis sites. Now, if you are on the Option One tour, your tour ends here. The next day, you will go back towards Rome, and then the following day, you will fly out. So that's really the last tour day. For the option one. If you're on option two, the next 3 days are completely free days in Assisi. You will have seen the different churches and things there, so you'll know what you personally are most attracted to. You'll be able to go anywhere, do anything you want completely on your own. It's fully unscheduled, 3 days in Assisi. So that's the 27th through the 29th of October, Saturday, Sunday and Monday. I call that the 3-day Assisi personal retreat. And then what we'll do on the 30th of October is we're going to go to another, really, it's kind of like a monastery. They call it Laverna Sanctuary. It's supposed to be one of the most beautiful monasteries in the world, but it also happens to be a monastery that Saint Francis visited frequently and spent a lot of time in prayer and contemplation there. So we're going to go there. And then because we're going up into Tuscany in order to go to this monastery, we'll also take a light tour of Florence, because again, Florence is one thing that, if you're going to Italy, some people want to see Florence. In fact, Rome is obviously the most visited part of Italy. Florence is second most visited. So we'll do a light tour of Florence after we have visited this Laverna Sanctuary. And then the next day, we're going to start heading back towards Rome, but we're not going to do it all in one day. We're going to stop at some other Saint Francis Assisi sites because he walked, as from Assisi to Rome. And there were places along the way where he would stop. And then as he got to know those places, he went back to those places, spent a lot of time in prayer, contemplation, solitude. So we're going to visit some other St. Francis sites between Assisi and Rome, and we'll be spending the night in a town called Reti, Reiti. And then the next day, which is the 1st of November, we'll finish making our way back down to Rome, spend the night there, and then get up the next morning and fly home. So those are the itineraries in a nutshell. And again, you can see these if you go look on the website. One thing I just want to point out, if you are interested in coming on either one of these trips, option one or option two, when you go to the website, there's a link that says important information, please read. I mean, please read this. This is important information about like when you want to arrive in Rome, when you want to depart Rome, if you want to be on our group transfer. If you have, and by group transfer, I mean a bus that picks us up at the airport, takes us to the hotel, and then takes us from the hotel back to the airport. If you happen to miss the group transfer because it just doesn't work for you, you can get an individual transfer for only $25 one way. So it's not a big deal. But if you want to be on the group transfer, you want to pay attention to these times I've listed on this important information page. I've also put a link to my flights if you want to see my flights and see if you can hook up about me. Hook up with me. There's details here about when final payment is due, details about the cancellation policy, details about luggage limitations, details about spending money, dress code, your visas and your passports, your immunizations. So lots of important information on this page. So please read it, but especially read it before you buy your flights, right? So, does anybody have any questions before I leave the Italy part? You looking at something there, Lisa?
No, just
No.
people were talking.
Any questions about the fall retreat in Italy? I think it's going to be super. I think anybody who goes is going to be really, really, really happy they went. So if you have questions, of course, you can always email me. Thank you, Jacqueline, for the kudos. My question is, how awesome does this sound? It's pretty awesome. Yeah, it's really going to be fantastic. So, all right then, let me just change over to the financial report, and we'll do that next. Let's see. I'm working from my phone because, as you know, we've been having trouble with the computer tonight, so I'm a little slow. Financial report right here. For those of you who want to look at the financial report by yourself, if you go to the Awakening Together website and you click on Things to Read, underneath Things to Read, you'll find called Governance Documents. And then underneath Governance Documents, you will find Financial Reports. So we post our annual financial report every year at the end of the year. Oh, thank you, Ken. Ken is mentioning that I forgot to talk about scholarships to Italy. The board of directors approved four $1,000 scholarships, which can be used to assist you on either option one or option two. So if you would like to go, but you don't quite have the money, and that $1,000 boost would enable you to make the trip and you couldn't make it without it, you can apply for a scholarship. It's really easy to apply for a scholarship. We've simplified the scholarship process. So if you just go again to the Italy page on our website, at the bottom of the page, you'll see the link for the scholarship. It also tells you the dates. In fact, let me just bounce back there and tell you guys the dates by when you need to apply. Let's see, back to retreats, Italy pilgrimage. Scholarship opportunities. All right, so application deadline is April 20th. I can't get that as fast as I did. April 20th is your application deadline, and those then the scholarships will be awarded. Now, we could put in another application deadline if all four do not get awarded, But if all four get awarded through people who apply on April 20th, there will not be a second opportunity. So if you're really interested in applying for this, you want to do it by then. All right, so let's go back to the financial report. Whoops, let's go back to Pal Talk. Hold on one moment. Okay, we're back. We left you guys for a minute there. So, financial reports. All right, in our last member meeting, what happened was I let you guys know that we were facing a deficit. We were looking at around a negative $6,000, negative $6,000, and our planned budget for this year was looking at a negative $18,000. Okay. So that negative was increasing. Some of you guys just stepped up to the plate. I mean, I don't know what else to say about that. In the month of December alone, we received $16,480 in donations in the month of December after the December member meeting. So I think that maybe, you know, when some of you guys heard, you know, because I also went over how much it costs to do different things, and you know, some of you guys just really heard that and stepped up. And so as a result, we didn't have a negative year last year. And in fact, the bottom line is that we ended up a positive $12,386.
Yeah, gorgeous.
Yeah, incredible. And in fact, I was receiving checks like in the last 2 or 3 days of the year. You know, we're talking December 28th, 29th, and 30th. I was receiving checks of $1,000, $2,000, $4,000. I mean, a single check. I mean, you guys just, you blew me away. I mean, I could cry just thinking about it now. It was just incredible. And I really appreciate that you did that, because it does cost money to run Awakening Together. And the staff members in particular work very long hours, you know, but we also have a lot of volunteers that work hours as well. So there's a lot of work that goes into making this happen. In that way, it doesn't just happen. And it takes money. And thank you. I don't know what else to say.
Yeah, I think it was extraordinary, because I analyzed some of the numbers, and December 2016, I think in that month, we brought in about $8,000 just in that month. And so when Regina told me that we'd brought in $16,000, I had to go and look at the numbers. They were so incredible.
Well, in fact, I think Lisa and I were looking at it like a week before the end of the year.
Yeah, we were.
And that's when you said we had $8,000. So that last $8,000 came in the last week of the year.
Yeah, it was just gorgeous. It just gorgeous.
Yeah, it was gorgeous. So I want to thank you all. But what I want to do now is just kind of briefly go over some of the highlights of the financial report, tell you some of the things where our income was, and where some of our expenses were last year. One unexpected piece of income that we had is really an item rather than money. We had a van donated to Awakening Together for the purpose of the retreat house. And right now I'm just trying to drive that van enough to maintain it. But we have a van that was donated. We also had some fundraising items like t-shirts and notes that were donated, some retreat supplies that were donated, some home office expenses that were donated. Meaning that Ken and Jacqueline have the right to request business reimbursement on their home office expenses as employees, and one of them just simply didn't, at least, you know, and the other one donated those expenses. So that was a really wonderful contribution from them. It reduces how much we actually have to pay out. We also had some donated airfare that happened. And an ad for our fall retreat was donated. So some of these things were donated, and they show up as income instead of as expenses. But in addition, the cash that we had donated, you all donated a total of $54,925. Mm. In addition to that, we had a single donor who donates my salary every year. So that was on top of the $54,925. And then we also had some donations that were donated for 2018. which means they don't show up in this report, they'll show up in the 2018 report. The donor specifically said this is for next year, so we put it towards next year. So there was, again, the donations were very generous, especially towards the year. We also received some income from royalties because both NTI and Inner Romana are owned by Awakening Together. I donated them. I don't personally own them. And so the royalties on those books last year was $3,235. So that was some additional income. We also had income from our minister preparation program, $13,897. Now, some of that got paid back out to some of the facilitators, but still, I'm sure we had a very healthy income coming in from there. We'll look at the bottom line, the expense line, in a moment. And then the retreat income, which is very deceiving at this point, the retreat income was $36,185. But the reason I say that's deceiving is that's how much we took in, and then, of course, we paid a huge amount of that back to the retreat center and to our facilitators. So when I get to the expense line, you'll see how much went back out. So it doesn't mean that we made $36,000, but that's the income that we brought in. We also had expenses related to that. Let's see. We also have, speaker services. This is a couple of gatherings that I did, one in Missouri. And one in Louisiana. We made $2,000 off of those two gatherings. We also made $2,320 on book sales, selling NTI and Inner Romana through the mail and at retreats, and $117 on fundraising sales, things like the t-shirts and the journals at the retreats. Overall, our income was $194,373. So that was our income last year. Now looking at our major expenses, there are minor expenses, but I'm only going to go over the major ones. Again, you can look at the financial report yourself. It's on the website. One of our major expenses is the money that we spent on paying our staff, paying Regina, paying Jacqueline, paying Ken, and paying Cheryl. That's one of our largest expenses. Yeah, and in fact, I have to add these up in my head. We have this number plus, because they're not on the same line. So where's that payroll number? I'm list on my phone, so it's a little harder. Okay, so 119,000 plus 11,000. That is what? 130,000 for paying our staff.
Mm-hmm.
Roughly 130,000 to pay our staff. So as you can see, that's our biggest expense right there. But remember, again, my salary was individually donated, so that helps a little bit.
A lot of it.
Okay, like we wouldn't be here if it wasn't for that one person. Is that what you're saying, Lisa?
That's a lot of it. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good stuff.
Yeah. Basically, we're lucky because one person takes care of me, and then everybody else takes care of everything else.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind
mm-hmm.
of the way it's working right now. Yeah. We also spent last year $2,135 on a website developer. You'll remember we had a new website that came up around August or September. I did as much work on that as I could on my own, but there were just certain things that I didn't have the skill to do, and we hired Bruce Rawls. And for the amount of work that he did, it cost us $2,135. And thank you for that compliment, Nancy. Another large expense that we had, we did spend $967. I mentioned above around $2,000 that we made selling NTI and Inner Romana, but it cost us nearly $1,000 to buy NTI and Inner Romana so that we could sell them. So again, that the income line is just the money that we brought in. You have to also balance it with the expense line. How much did that cost? So nearly half of what we made, we had to spend in order to purchase the books from the publishers. We also spent $3,202 last year just on the various internet software programs we have to use, like QuickBooks to manage our finances, MailChimp to send you guys the daily update every day, the form software that we use so you can register for retreats, register for MPP, Bluehost, which is where our website is hosted, etc. So about $3,000 in those types of things. We spent $2,465 on scholarships last year. So that's how much we gave out in scholarships. We also spent $3,127 on benevolence. Benevolence is when somebody needs money for some reason and it's reviewed by our benevolence subcommittee and they give it. And I can't tell you who that money was given to or why. That's confidential information. But we did give out $3,127 in benevolence awards last year. We also moved $2,000 from our operational budget to the retreat house fund. So that money just moved, but that shows up as an expense. Let's see, what else have we got here? Okay, so when it came to the fall retreat, we had $31,387 in expenses. I mentioned up above that we had $36,000 in income, but we had $1,387 in expenses. And those expenses, again, were paying our retreat leaders, paying the retreat center. Those were the primary expenses. So as you can tell, most of that money went back out again. But we did make a little bit of a profit off of the retreat. And I think that's it. So our total expenses, those are the major expenses. So our total expenses last year were $182,386, which again brought us to, it brought us to 11,986, but then you made a journal entry that brought us to 12,000.
That was the fixed stuff from prior years.
Okay,
yeah.
So really, really, our positive was $11,986 last year,
yeah.
Almost 12,000.
Yeah.
But then
I found $400 more.
Yeah, she found $400 of mistakes I'd made in previous years and put it back in this year. So that brought us up above 12,386.
Yeah. It was a great year.
Yeah, it was a great year. And again, you guys, the December just blew us away.
Yeah.
So I don't know what to say about that.
Thank you. It was just gorgeous. Yeah.
All right. So are there any questions about our financial report? All right, then. We're ready to talk about the retreat house. And Lisa, I think this is what you're primarily here for.
Yes, ma'am.
So,
yes, ma'am. Hey, everyone. I know a while since I've chatted with everybody about the retreat house, but there's been a lot of work behind the scenes. By a number of us, and not just within the Awakening Together organization. We've come to know many, many people along the way, from real estate agents to people that live in the La Vita area. Now, remember, we have chosen La Vita as our place for the retreat house. And we've gone through the number of reasons why. It's all out there on the Retreat House website. But just a gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous place. Every time I go there, I know deep down inside my heart that La Vita is the place for our retreat house.
And just a quick pause for those of you guys that don't know where to see the Retreat House web pages. They're on our website underneath the Retreats and Classes menu. So you click Retreats and Classes, and then
yeah,
you'll
that's,
see
that's changed with the
yeah,
new website.
And then you'll
yeah.
see Retreat House, and that's where you can that's where she's referring to right now. Is,
yeah.
So go ahead.
Yeah. Thanks. So there have been a number of people, a number of trips that I have made, that Regina has made, the two of us have made since the last time we talked, which I got 6 months ago. So just like to bring you up to speed real quick on things and where we are. So if you were to go out to the website and see our current available properties, those that are listed do look quite different from about a year ago before the Retreat House Subcommittee was formed. I think that was March or April.
Yeah,
the retreat.
Like that.
Yeah, so we've been at this together, the four of us. So it's Regina and myself and Jacqueline and Phil Frisk. And so things have changed dramatically. And I thought if I'd just take a few moments to let you know where we are. So if you were to go to those retreat house pages, the current available properties, you'll see three or four of them there, which are smaller homes within the $250,000 to $500,000 price range. And we have visited all of those. In addition, you'll see Reaching for the Stars. Reaching for the Stars, I think, is what we call it, which are four different listings there of some phenomenal properties in some of the most coveted areas in the whole La Vita township.
Incredible. I mean, I don't think Lisa and I can express to you how beautiful these
We
places
try to do
are.
it with pics. We've been down there at times, and we're just in awe of not just the landscape and all the rock formations, but sunrises, sunsets, the weather that seems to predominate the area that is driven by the Spanish peaks, the West Peak in particular. It's just gorgeous. And in any hour, things change dramatically, and it's just phenomenal to sit there and just watch the weather sometimes, let alone stare at all those gorgeous rock formations and creek beds and things and herds of elk. And I've yet to be there in the springtime when water start flowing, so there's snow melt, and I guess you've been there during springtime.
I've been going down to La Vida now. I'd have to look good. I'd have to go back and look. It's been a few years that I've been going down there, and it's just, Colorado is gorgeous, but La Vida is special.
Yeah, it's special. It's special, and trust me, I've traveled all around Colorado for about 6 months. My husband and I were trying to find the place we wanted to live, and we chose in Colorado Springs, fortunately. But all over Colorado are just gorgeous places, but La Vita just beats them all. So it captures my heart every time we go. We've looked at several properties. Oh gosh, probably at least 18, 20 different properties, Regina. Of course, they're not all listed. We've removed them from the current available properties website as they maybe have been taken off the market or have sold, right? But what's there right now are, I think, three listings with houses in the under $500,000 range. And then the four or five different large ranches that we have actually toured.
And my personal favorite, if you're curious, is the one called Big Wall Ranch. Go check it out. Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. I mean, it would just be perfect. That's my personal favorite. Do you have a different favorite, Lisa, or is it the same?
I would have to say so far, Big Wall Ranch, and it's probably that Big Wall Dike formation that juts out from the west peak that just captures my attention every time we walk on down that Highway 360. Sometimes we'll just bolt on down to La Vita and walk down this particular roadway. I called it highway. It's a roadway that passes by several of the properties that we've been looking at. We could do that for a couple of hours just staring
Just
at,
walking
yeah, just
around.
walking around staring at the properties. But we have worked with a number of real estate agents down there. We've been doing a lot of touring. I wanted to speak to, the wide, what do you say, the disparity between, the prices of the properties looking at $250,000 all the way up to, what is it now, 6.3 million?
Yeah, something like that, the most expensive one.
Right. And of course, we drew the line at Reaching for the Stars, I think, at about $1 million and above. I tell you, folks, every time that I travel to La Vita, talk to any of the subcommittee members about the retreat house, talk to my husband about the retreat house and what we're doing here, I get such a grand feeling about the purpose of the retreat house. On the website pages, it speaks to the place where we can all come to take that next step with God. And when I put myself in everybody's shoes as I listen to all of the Awakening Together members, whether it's during the Awakening Together gathering or some of the teachings, I see so many different steps for folks that I think this retreat house will enable folks, just through practice and concentration, the beauty of the land, being able to have a quiet, very well, I won't say silent, but a very quiet place to come to get to that next step with God, is with for all of our members. And the wide discrepancy in the pricing of the properties, I think, is a reflection of our desire to want to do something now with some, like a starter home. Thus, we have these lesser expensive properties. And if you look at the other side, to where my mind goes at times when I think about the potentiality for this Awakening Together retreat house, to for it to grow beyond what we even perceive in our minds right now, which grows in my heart every time I go down there. Thus, these ranches are capturing our the whole spirit of the campaign. So that's why I think the larger ranches, they just seem to capture the feeling, the essence, the purpose of this next step with God. I see it as so grand, and that is why we look at these other larger properties.
Yeah, and you know, so those of you who are at the fall retreat, you know, you got to see some of these Reaching for the Stars properties. We showed them to you on the big screen. But those of you who have not been to the fall retreat, I really encourage you to go to the website, go underneath retreats and classes, go to the retreat house, and then look at the current properties. You know, look at them, especially Big Wall Ranch. You know, and there's even videos there where you can see the videos. And you know, these places are incredible. The first time I saw Big Wall Ranch, I was with Jacqueline, and I looked at it and I said, "Oh my God, this land alone would wake people up."
Yeah, just the land.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So, real quick, I know we only have a few more minutes. I see about five more minutes. Yeah. Let's do talk a little bit about funding. It's something that the subcommittee talks about every time we get together. We are very much aware of the, what is it, about $150,000?
Yeah, so I was going to type. We have a little over $150,000 right now.
Okay, $150,000 in the fund. And, you know, thanks so much for everybody's support thus far. And moving forward, we're hoping to grow that, of course, through membership. But we're also very much aware that it's going to take, I think, some
divine intervention.
Some divine intervention, I'll say. and some intervention from sources that we may be staring at. I continue to talk to our subcommittee about several things that have come to me just over the last year as possible funding sources. We're just beautiful. Can't even believe that they've come into my awareness. But also things that we're not even aware of that I know have got to be out there. I can sense them. I can feel them. I know that in relationship to what Regina was just talking about during Seven Steps, the program right before this, in terms of the number of hours that I spend in contemplation or prayer for our retreat house, this thing will come. It is coming. I can feel it. I spend 3 to 4 hours a day in prayer and contemplation, meditation on the retreat house. I can see it, and I can feel the support coming in a very, very big way. It's kind of to a point where I don't really want to stop and label it. I've thought about with the subcommittee, perhaps we pinpoint a property and let's put all of our focus on that. But I hesitate to do that because the momentum hasn't stopped, Regina. The more I just let this thing grow in my mind, grow in my heart, I can feel that support coming through. And yes, it's going to be big. I feel it's going to be grand, and it's going to be even larger than what we see in our minds right now.
Yeah, and I have all over my office and in my living room, I have pictures of Levita, which, while I'm teaching, I'm sitting there staring at pictures of Levita. I have a little rock I got in Levita that I hold while I meditate, so.
So, in terms of the funds, just real quick once again, we know we have $150,000. That's great, that's fine, but we're still looking at these other funding sources, some of them that we are aware of, some of them that we know are will come. Okay, it's divine law. It will come. The funding will come for what it is that that we need. In fact, we're going again this week, right,
Yeah,
Regina? Are
we
we doing
have
a
two
trip this week?
properties we're looking at on Friday. So, and I just gotta say, I would love to take each and every one of you down there. I just love to take people down there and show them Levita because the only way you can really understand why Levita is in our heart is to go to Levita. But there are great pictures. There are great pictures. You can even get links to some of the pictures on our website. There's a link to Levita pictures on our retreat house page. But you gotta be there.
I saw a bunch of stuff scrolling. Am I good?
Yeah, these are just people getting into the room for
Oh,
Craig's training. And in
okay.
fact, I think it's time for us to say goodbye because it is time for Craig.
Okay. All
Any
right.
last word you want to throw out there?
Love you guys. Thanks for all of your support with the Retreat House. We really do appreciate all of the contributions thus far. All right, and we'll keep you posted. Things are great.
Yeah. All right. Bye, everyone.